Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Can you believe it? Welcome to your new
team. Brilliant from Franklin.
Absolutely awesome. There's demons everywhere. There's steaming forward. Tyson to his team. A beautiful miracle of that.
Welcome to Clicking Balls AFL Round 4 wrap up. I'm your host, Heath. I've never called myself a host before. I don't feel like a host. No, I'm the first person one that speaks, Heath. And the first question I ask each week is a highlight of the week. So, Brenton, you got a highlight of the week?
Yeah. Like I was saying, I'm pretty sure everyone's done the same thing. Yeah. adopted Australian, Robbie Whittaker, smashing the fuck out of Jacare in the UFC.
He flies out on an Australian passport.
Yeah.
And I should say, the other voice with us is an old-time podcaster with us. He's been with us a few times now.
It's been a while though.
So he's the physical and metaphorical punching bag for everybody. Richie.
Hello.
How are we doing, Richie? So your highlight was also Whittaker?
Yeah, Whittaker. Also, I guess, seeing again Mighty Mouse destroy Wilson Hayes as well. Like, looking at that guy fight, he is the perfect fighter.
That's crazy, isn't it?
It's insane. Like, it's almost at the stage now is what do you throw at him next? Because there's really no challenge.
Like, he wants to break the record for defenses, isn't it? And that's the next one, breaks the record.
Yeah.
Then you just got to say, mate, can you fuck off? Can you go up
something else?
Go up a division.
It was just relentless the way he did it as well. Like, it was, didn't matter what position he was always able to attack somehow. Like, even if it was in the sort of scramble, he'd find a way to get in his face, put a few punches in, then get back out.
Yeah.
And you remember, Hayes is a pretty bloody good black belt too. And he got subbed. And I think he said in his, on his post fight, posts or something on Instagram that losing by submission was actually the worst way he could have lost that fight. I mean, he just feels so sad.
It was a submission, but he got beaten down.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was almost like this arm would be quicker.
Yeah,
my face is only can only take so much.
Yeah, he's looking like a mini Charles Barkley down there. Fucked up.
On Whittaker, I thought Jacare was a mean fight for him.
Yep.
God damn it. Didn't he outthink him at every post?
And patient too. That was the thing that really blew me away is he got that first knockdown. And then he just let him get back up and goes, okay, I'm going to hit you again. And good luck getting me down. And he's takedown defense on that first takedown where he ended up doing pretty much three backflips to get away. That was, very, very smooth.
The stoppage was weird though. It was either an early or a late stoppage.
Yep. Mm.
It was definitely one or the other. It just was the wrong time to stop.
Yeah. After he turtles up and it was the right call though. He definitely didn't need to take any more damage. The fight was done.
He was getting fucked up.
Yeah. And it didn't look like he was going to recover because really he was just going to stand up again and knock him back down.
Yeah. It was there was no other way that fight was going. It was so good to see Whittaker. For years, he's been fighting on the Australian cards only and sort of beating up guys. And you're like, well, come on, you've got better than this.
Yeah.
And we're asking for ages for him to get a big name fight overseas. I remember he got a decision against Uriah Hall.
Yeah.
It was one of the most clever fights I've seen him fight. Mm. And then Uriah Hall goes on and fights Anderson Silva.
Yeah,
and
you're like, exactly.
How about this guy get somebody?
Yep.
Throwing fucking Jacare.
Yeah.
And he dished him up.
Yep. And even Jacare was taking the fight because he just wanted to stay active. He needed money or something like that. But he didn't think he was actually going to lose. He thought it would just be another tick in the box.
I feel really bad for Jacare too because he's been sitting on that cusp with that title shot for so long. Yep. And with Romero being out for the suspension. And now you've got Bisping GSP. It just, you kind of really wish that Romero was getting the title fight now. Yep. So that Whittaker is next in line, takes the winner of that. But now with GSP, it's like, do you give Whittaker Romero or do you just have them wait it out?
And well, Rockhold's put his hand up.
Yeah. He's been trying to get a fight with anybody lately. Because he was supposed to fight Jacare in Australia.
In Australia,
Then that never came about.
But then Whittaker was supposed to fight Bisping 6 months ago as well. So I'd love to see that fight. And but I think you've got to give Romero the next shot regardless. So
it's the most interesting division by far.
Definitely.
Because a lot of the other divisions are held up at the minute. But
yeah, thank you, McGregor.
All right, so we'll get to the footy with round four now in the books. We'll start on, was it Thursday night now?
Yeah, another Thursday
early
night
one.
Start.
West Coast doing the job against Sydney. Sydney are unlucky again. I mean, Buddy copped that knock early on. Jeez, it was a good bump too, wasn't it? Shannon Hearn?
Yeah, I think so.
Not many people in the AFL I'd like to get bumped by, but Shannon Hearn's certainly at the bottom of that list.
Yeah,
I think...
solid fucking unit.
It's been scary. Like, I reckon Sydney... someone said it the other day to me... I reckon Sydney is the best form 0-4 side I've ever seen. It's crazy. And they've been playing some good footy. And you know, it was pretty close most of the game with West Coast there too. And just kicked away at the end. And yeah, it was good game to watch, though. I love the Thursday night games. It's always good.
Especially the Tigers being 2-0 on the Thursday nights now.
Yeah,
so,
we are the Thursday night
specialists. I don't mind them anymore.
It does stretch out the weekend a little bit. But it's fine when there's no... work on Friday anyway, so it feels like a Friday night regardless.
And actually having a game on Friday this year was much better as well.
I thought Sydney, like we said, a little bit unlucky, but their engine room is still struggling. Struggling big time.
Yep, and I can't really see why, because on paper it looks like a killer setup.
It's just the injuries though that are killing them, really. The whole onus of play the kids at the moment seems to be striking pretty hard.
But the midfield's not, they haven't really been hit by injuries. I mean, there's only McVay, and he's more of a back flanker these days anyway.
Yeah.
The midfield, their all-star midfield's still there. They're just playing shit.
Yeah. It's hard to sort of figure out why, if they're, I don't know, if they've been figured out or if they're just, you know, not gelling.
Yeah. I don't know. It might be something like that, because obviously they're missing players at either end of the ground, is what, like you mentioned. But
yeah,
they're still showing some fight. It's just a lack of skill a little bit at times. Although Papley was back for his first game of the year this week, and I think Heaney comes back next week or the week after.
He'd be out due there.
But Papley showed that he's still the same little goal-hungry sneak that he was last year, which is great. I mean, that's what you need. Every club needs one.
Yeah. I mean, West Coast finally getting some runs on the board as well. They're always going to struggle with that, Nick Nat. And they've still got the same old players that are doing the hard work as well, like Gaff and Shuey. But it's made it interesting down the bottom of the table there, or the midfield.
It was good to see that Sam Mitchell came back on after injuring himself, because West Coast play Hawthorn next week. And I think there's going to be a lot of Hawthorn supporters out there actually to cheer Mitchell. Sam Mitchell, I should say.
No, look, I've said this. I said this earlier when Deledio traded off to GWS. And I think the same thing stands for Mitchell. You will be, I mean, there's still going to be people booing him, because always going to be that guy. But I reckon the large majority seeing that Mitchell out against Hawthorn, it's going to be respect. And he's done so much for the club. You can't deny that.
Especially the bandwagoners that have jumped on board in the last couple of years.
And I think we've got Melbourne in round seven as well. So Jordan Lewis should be unsuspended by then. Well, he might have enough time to get back in and then get suspended again. I thought, when you talk about Nick Nat's out, I thought Jonathan Giles did all right.
Well, I mean, for his standard, he did well.
For his standard, it was three votes.
It was a good game. So at least they're getting some utility out of him. But it's always going to be tough, because he's not good around the ground. Like, he can hit the ball out of the air, but that's about it. So it's lucky they've got the rest of the team that are pulling the weight, because others have been a world hurt.
No, it was a fairly all-round effort from West Coast, and they sort of did enough without being stretched at times. Got lucky with the MRP as well. Lacroix just gets a fine, so he gets away with that one.
Oh, yeah.
I must say, that's a weird thing, is like having the match panel results coming out before the final game of the rounds played.
Which makes sense. Strange. And it's a shame. I mean, we'll get to it when we get to the final game, but MRP would have thought their week was done. Hold my beer, says Geelong.
Why don't they just phone it in? So, it's four.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
It's essentially what it is. There's probably an intern in there, and they just ring up and go, mate, it's four. Can you figure it out? And they have to fill in the forms to make it work.
Make it official.
But that's, like you said, 0-4 for Sydney, but probably the best looking 0-4 side. And you're still like, would you back against them to make finals from here? Probably not.
No.
Probably not. No. I mean, I can't see it happening on the current form. I mean, they're playing well, but you've got to get over those lines. That extra 4 points by picking up one of those games makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
I can't see them getting there now. But yeah, again, you can't rule them out because they've been playing so well for so long. It's almost weird seeing them down the
bottom. Yeah. Yep.
There's too much talent there just to be shit. To be out of form for too long.
Mm. Yeah, you think at some point they're going to put a win streak together. Sort of like West Coast did last year before. They'll find their way and they'll get there. But it's just got to be a bit of a kick in the confidence down there at the bottom. And, you know, especially approaching the season, thinking you'd probably have a shake at top four.
Like even Kennedy had 30-odd touches in this game. And I think that's his first 30-touch game for the year. But it wasn't as damaging as some of his other games. But, yeah, it's going to happen. On to Friday, Good Friday football for the first time. It's got to be said, 42,000, probably a couple of thousand shy where it needed to be.
Yeah, I thought so as well. I thought it had the makings of a good game, so surprised they didn't get more people there. But then, I suppose people go on holidays and shit like that over Easter, so it's always different sort of family commitments as well. I don't know if some people are religious.
TV ratings are going to be the teller.
Do religious do anything on the Friday night? Is there like a...
Good Friday?
Supposed to not work or something?
Yeah, I think they do stuff, religious stuff. Yeah, church.
The hard part for me was the time slot. Like, I know they did it because most religions have like the 2 o'clock mass or whatever for Good Friday.
Yeah,
but having that 4 o'clock start, it's kind of
weird.
Yeah, like I'm trying to prep dinner and all that sort of stuff, and it's smack bang in the middle. So you're running back and forth between the kitchen, and you know, people have got kids and stuff. They've got to look after them in the afternoons, but. I don't know. It was great to have. I absolutely loved that I could sit and watch the footy on a day off. But
well, the last couple of Good Fridays, like I think we've even said on here, like I've watched A League or I think I even watched Super 12s rugby or Super 15s or whatever it's called.
Yep.
So I was watching sport, just not footy. And now there was actually footy to watch, and I went to it.
Yeah, I was actually kind of lucky. I didn't realize it was on at 4 o'clock. I just happened. So I was at a barbecue. I was at a Viet barbecue, so I was. Just went home and
so they're gambling on it.
Funny enough, I wasn't the token white person there. There was a couple of other people there too. So
something different for you.
Bit of diversity in the barbecue this year. So yeah, I was lucky I just catch it when I got home.
Well, it was the first game I've attended at Etihad this year, and so very excited for their 4 different kinds of salt. Bragged about. I couldn't tell the difference, but anyway, I'm sure somebody else could.
Yep, I'm sure someone's got paid for it.
It was very exciting. It was a scrappy old game though.
It was a shit game for the first half.
The first quarter really put me off, and I was like, "Oh, what have I done? Why have I sat here and watched this?"
Yep.
And then the last quarter, I essentially just said, "No, dinner is gonna wait. I'm watching this game," and I got fully into it. You know, I tipped the dogs, so I was hoping that they could get back over the line, and it's always nice seeing North lose, you know. I'm one of those guys.
Why North?
I don't know. It's just, I feel like they're one of the teams that nobody really hates, so I feel obligated to hate them a little. but honestly, you can't hate the Bulldogs. They're the one team that everybody is just, you just, aww, you guys are cute. But then they go and win flags, so.
Yeah, they're still too very much shy of being hated, I think.
Two in a row?
Yeah, two in a row, I reckon that'll start turning the tide.
It was interesting sitting amongst the Bulldogs faithful there. The old bloke next to me, all he wanted to do was chat. It was great. Jakey Stringer kicked a goal, I think.
Yep.
And he turned to me straight away and showed me his shirt and goes, look. Mind you, this bloke, it would be, if he was a day under 50, I'd be surprised.
Yep.
He's got Jakey Stringer's signed his premiership shirt. So it's a brand new shirt too. And I just thought, that's good, mate. He was so excited to show me Jakey Stringer's signature on his shoulder after Jakey Stringer kicked the goal. I thought, good on you. Enjoy this. But, geez, I hate Suckling. He had a shocker.
Really? Oh, yeah.
He had a real shocker.
Some of his kicks from distance were absolutely terrible. But, I mean, he wasn't the only one that was having shocking skills on that day.
There's a few there.
But they found a way to draw you into it. The intensity lifted in the last half, but the skills didn't really pick up. It just made it exciting because it was close.
Yeah, the closeness masked how crap the game was.
And that was enough. You know, I was involved in it. I was invested. So, yeah, I thought it was pretty exciting at the end. And Lindsay Thomas just couldn't get him across the line. Had every chance at it.
And so you say that we're saying Suckling had a shocker. Lindsay's was worse.
Yep.
Absolutely horrendous.
That final pass, you know, it's three other options and he hits it straight down the middle of a... another player. And I mean, everything's going on about his last-ditch effort at the goal. But, you know, if he had kicked that, that was a miracle. But the pass earlier, that should have should have at least presented to a target.
Oh, the pass was easy, but the goal wasn't that difficult either. I mean, it was from 50 on the run.
Yep.
I mean, 90% of players should hit those.
Indoors as well. So.
Indoors. Yeah, the goal kicking was terrible tonight. What was it? 12-14 to 12-17.
Yeah.
So maybe it was the wind.
Yeah, well, even the commentator was like, yeah, you're going to aim for the left post here because it'll go... And you're like, what the fuck are you smoking?
That's Brian Taylor. He just loves aiming for the post. It's got to be inside the post, or it's got to be just outside the post.
Well, generally, you want to kick it in between the posts. Yeah. But that's just me.
Stay the fuck away from the post altogether.
Yeah, just gently through the middle. That'll be more than enough.
Yeah, but for a reason, they just couldn't pull it together and... probably helped with the cloak going down. a bit more stuff for that.
That is something, though. I'm glad that there was no report.
Yeah.
In that one, because that was just a great square shirt front.
It was a good bump.
Yeah.
It's a great bump.
Very solid bump. Unfortunate for cloak, obviously.
He's going to miss a month or two.
Yeah, really they said 4 to 6. I mean, broken ribs. It could be anywhere up to 3, really. Like,
well, I mean, it took Jenkins from Adelaide 3 weeks before he realised he had broken ribs.
Yeah,
until they admitted it. Either way, but broken ribs is one of those injuries you only hear about it. I sort of think every couple of years.
Yeah,
and now we've had at least two, maybe three this year already. It's just, you know, that seems to be what it is this year. Better than knees, I guess.
I would have thought like Thurman up in the ruck would have been the cause of most rib injuries or something like that, because you're always getting a random knee and you're floating rib in your back or something like that.
Yeah, it's actually, one thing I remember from this game is we had I can't remember who it was lining up for the goal in the pocket, and as they're coming back, they hit the fence and they start walking around, and the umpires pulled them back and said, "No, you can't. You've got to go back up against the fence." Yep. And that was really interesting. Like, made a good point. Like, if you got Ben Brown's run up, eventually you're gonna hit the fence. So he's expected to come off a shorter run up just because of the dimension of the ground. I don't know. It's an interesting one.
Half the time they're gonna run out anyway.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Obviously, everyone knows they're just, you know,
milking everything they can,
trying to get an extra degree or something, open up the face.
And let's be honest, no goal has got more acute by them walking backwards either. They're always trying to scam a little bit.
It's that Leslie Nielsen's golf video. Remember?
Yeah.
No putt ever got longer by being marked.
Yep. He's exactly right. Same concept. That was a good show, actually. I forgot about that one.
There's about three of them.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're on YouTube.
Yeah.
Leslie Nielsen's silly little golf video or something like that.
Yep.
But the Bulldogs, they haven't really been that impressive this year. They've just put the foot on the pedal when need be.
Yeah. It's kind of the same as last year, though. That's sort of what they were doing. And they kept brought it together at the end. So they've got a fully fit squad now, don't they?
Close to it.
They're pretty much, yeah.
There's still rough heads out.
Yeah.
Cloak out, obviously, now. Cloak it's going to be a hit.
Yeah. It's got so many contenders that can pop up any game and do like a star role. You know what I mean? Like Dowhouse this week.
He had a good game.
He had a good game. Even Cunnington from North was serviceable. I thought he tried hard the whole day.
He probably one of North's toughest.
Yeah, definitely. I think there are positives for North out of there, but they still would like to get across the line on that ample opportunity too.
There's been positives in all four games for North.
Yeah.
Because this is the year where they've started their rebuild and obviously lost a lot of talent or experience over the off-season. But I think they've shown a lot. You know, and they've still got players to come back, a lot of players to come back.
On that note, I'm actually shattered. On Brent Harvey leaving and going to North Heidelberg, his first game at Shelley Park, I literally lived next door to that.
Oh, right.
Really?
That's where our house was. And I could look out our bedroom window and you see the footy game going on.
You go out talk shit to Boomer.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he's a little short, so I probably couldn't have seen him from where I was. But yeah, I was shattered because I don't live there anymore. It would have been nice to go and have a look at that game.
He was active at three-quarter time. They had a long kicking comp. They had four players. It was Anthony Stevens, Mick Martin, Boomer Harvey, and Luke Darcy.
Right.
Don't know what Luke was doing there since the other three were North, but anyway. And I think like Mazda were donating $100 for every meter they kicked. Right. They all had, you know, one kick each.
Yep.
And
that's pretty shit from Mazda.
I think it was $100 per meter or something like that. Yeah. Did I say 100? Yeah. But Boomer got 52 meters, but we said it was a bit hard because he handballed it first and then got it back and then ran another 40. But yeah, he looked the best out of the lot.
How's the pre-shows for the North Melbourne games going? Are they still really like cringeworthy?
Well, they still pipe in all the sound.
Right.
Which just ruins it. But, you know, every other team plays their own theme song as they run out onto the ground.
Yeah.
Well, North play a different version of their own theme song, and it's a slower version.
Oh, that one, yeah.
And it's just weird.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's not good.
And the other time I watched them, they never had it, like, synced up for the first bounce, so it was always a bit off. Like, all of it was just, like, amateur hour, the whole production value of it.
A little bit. Yeah, it is a bit weird. There was something else that was going on at halftime or quarter time, and I remember watching it going, yeah, this is just totally unnecessary.
Yep.
But it's obviously it's the directive that's gone out from the AFL. They have to have something to create match day experience or some bullshit.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, it's a good idea. I think they could just come up with better shit, really.
I love it. Like, it, simple is good. I say... Richmond's one they've got with the... Are you paying attention?
Yeah.
Is the funniest... cam video I've seen. Like, it's hilarious because you had a guy at Richmond game the other week, and I think it was 7 minutes or something that were kind of like getting something ridiculous, just ridiculous. Okay, it felt like 7 minutes. No, it was probably a solid 2.5 that they had him on the camera, and he was just fiddling on his phone, wasn't sitting with anyone either. So normally you get after about 30 seconds the tap on the shoulder, go, oh, dude, you're on the screen, but
everyone's leaving him alone.
Yeah.
But no, he was out for ages, and that's hilarious. Like, it just gives you a couple of minutes that you just, you know what, this is a bit of fun. I'll laugh at it.
That's good, actually. You reminded me what it was at halftime or quarter time at this game. They did match the emoji.
Match the emoji.
Yep.
The fuck is that?
So they have an emoji up on the big screen,
yep.
And then the other half of the big screen is the roving camera. And whoever it syncs on, you've got to match the emoji.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, whatever.
What if they put up the, like, poo emoji or something?
Well, sadly...
Or the eggplant. Like, then we're really in trouble.
Sadly, they didn't. It was a winking face with a tongue out or something. So, it was all excitement.
Yeah. Anyway. I'm sure the 50-year-olds of North Melbourne fans would have loved that.
Target those younger generation. Yeah.
And that's the other thing, too. It was a North home game, but it definitely felt like a Bulldogs one.
Yeah.
With the crowd numbers. But you expect that after you won a flag.
Yeah.
Going to happen.
And I mean, North Melbourne don't have many members anyway, so it's hard the best to check out a stadium. That's when we were going to watch them versus Richmond when it was their whole home game, and Richmond pretty much had the whole bottom area, except for the Melbourne North Melbourne membership part. So I think they've always struggled to fill out a dead stadium. What is the membership base? Is it decent this year?
Nah, shit.
Shit, almost.
Bulldogs have had a good spike, but I think it was
You'd expect
10,000 or something increase. All those bandwagons jumping on, or at least the long-time supporters who finally commit.
Stumped up a membership.
Yeah,
I don't get what people complain about bandwagoners all the time. I reckon that's fine, as long as you're not changing every year.
Yeah. That's
the different kind of bandwagoner.
Yeah.
Because essentially, I'm a bandwagon supporter for Hawthorn, because after the 88 grand final, I jumped on.
Yep.
I think I've stuck through a bit since then, but... That's just a new fan.
Yeah, look, I jumped off plenty of good teams to live in Richmond.
And why did you stick with us?
I think the only team you jumped off that haven't won a premiership was Saints. So
yep, that's about it. Yeah. That was Matthew Richardson was the reason why I got on the Tigers train when he was a young gun with long hair, forward flank, taking hangers. And he did two knees and that was it.
Hey, it's only taken 25 years, but it's finally paying off.
First starting to get somewhere. Yep, I actually get respect now.
Before we get there, we'll go to the Saturday games. We've got the Demons hosting Fremantle. The exciting things here for Fremantle, one, that they've won in Melbourne at the MCG, and two, they scored over 100 points.
Yep.
So the two things that they've struggled to do since forever.
Yeah. I mean, Melbourne were a depleted side without Lewis and Hogan and
Gorn.
Gorn, yeah. So it was always going to be tough for them to go to the line.
They were right for the picking.
Yeah, yeah.
It was tough. Like, the start of this year, I was really expecting good things out of Melbourne. And sadly, my tips have not been enjoying their downfall. But it's a frustrating game. Anytime a team's given up 20, 30 point leads.
Yeah.
And then it ended up being, 40-odd point turnarounds. And then they pegged it back towards the end. But... what a frustrating game to watch.
It's just that third quarter where Freo just put the foot down and Melbourne can do anything about it.
Well, that's what it was. The middle two quarters, it was just one-way traffic to the same end.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But I was listening to this one on the radio, so I didn't actually watch it live. But, it sounded exciting, the finish at the end on the radio. I've gone back and watched it since. But they've put up a stuff. So I think even though Melbourne were depleted, you've got to ask the other players to step up.
Yeah.
And there's a few that have done okay and a few that have want to have a look again.
Yeah. They've still got some young kids that are coming up. Like, Oliver's still putting in a good effort. But apart from that, there's a little bit inconsistent with their young kids now.
Yeah, Petraka was inconsistent. Like, some moments he looked like a young kid out of his depth.
Yep.
And other times you go, all right, yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
There's the star.
We found a lot of times he'd do the hard work and then mess up the easy part. Like, taking marks, flying back against the pack, get it in his hands, then somehow fumbles it and drops it.
Yeah.
It's like, you've already done the hard work. You know, it's just that little bit of composure or that little bit of finishing that they didn't quite have.
And Big Sandy, I thought, would have been the difference in this game. And he had a good one, but I don't think he was as dominant as he expected. So, I mean, Jake Spencer, he certainly beat Jake Spencer.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a bad game for Spencer.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, when you've got Fife running midfield, it's pretty hard to really lose that one out. But I mean, he's just been good at, usually the thing with Sandy Lands is that he's been too easy to shark his taps.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't think that Melbourne had enough physicality in the middle to be able to really push him around.
But it's not a bad start for both teams. I think that leaves them both at 2-2 now, doesn't it? Or has Melbourne only got the one win?
Can't remember.
I could check that. Yeah. But Freo now look like they've righted their ship. And you'd expect them to get a few more wins and probably maybe not make the eight, but certainly push it close.
Yeah. And I mean, like, they've got sort of a bit more consistency amongst their sort of mid to top tier players.
Well, yeah, since they dropped a whole bunch.
Yeah.
You know, they've finally given up on Zach Dawson, it's only 10 years too late. But
disappointing to all of Reddit.
Yeah, they're both sitting 2-2 now. So yeah, Melbourne's still just in the eight, but the percentage for Freo is not a nice start for the season.
Yeah, Melbourne have got some big games coming up. You know, while Gorn's out for essentially half the year,
it's a tough loss.
It'll depend when he comes back or when he's ready to come back. If Melbourne are out of finals contention, you probably just go, mate, don't worry about it. But I'll tell you what, at least the All Australian ruck position wide open this year, because it's probably Jacobs and Nankervis that are leading it at the minute.
Yeah,
which is scary because Nankervis has not been actually winning the ruck at all as a ruckman.
It's just
his work around the ground.
I'll take it.
Yeah, like there's not many rucks that are. I mean, actually, Grundy is probably.
Yep, Grundy's probably up there too.
I would say he's up there with leading at the moment. He's played some bloody brilliant games so far.
Yep, Jack Watts.
Hey, to be honest, we've got this third man up rule now. Like, you can pretty much have everyone as your designated ruckman. They've just got to be the first to it. So it's like playing soccer back in school and say whoever's the last to pick goalie.
I hope there's more of those clusterfucks that happen. Just so they go, you know what? We don't need this nominating. We can decide who the ruckman is just by looking.
Yeah.
Like we did for the previous 100 years.
Yep.
Yeah, anyway. I think it's simple. Like, if two players from the same team go up, it's a free kick.
That's it.
Why do you even need to nominate?
Not that difficult.
Yep.
I guess there's the infringing on the ruckman, but most of that comes from blocking any. Like,
but that rule's been around forever.
Yeah, exactly.
We've had no issues with it before because everyone wasn't stupid.
Yeah.
And it's not going to happen if you remove the nominating your ruckman rule because teams are only abusing it now to try and get a free kick.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they're doing it within the rules.
Yep.
That's what the rules are.
Yeah.
So they're just using the rules to their advantage. So if you take away that rule, it's not like everyone's going to start, you know, bumping Aaron Sanderlands off the ball because they know he's the ruckman.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And also, you don't really want to get in his way when he's kind of running in, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Head of steam up.
that momentum carries through and you end up on your own ass.
Remember a couple of years ago when he knocked over Stevie J. And Stevie J stood there and took it. Didn't take it standing, but he took it.
Yep. I still remember that. I was after the player sort of moved on. Then he sort of showed the pain that was in.
Yeah, he's old school.
Yep.
All right. So anyway, that's a good start for Freo. Well, interesting to see if they make the eight by the end of the year. On to the Giants hosting Port Adelaide.
This game made me so mad.
The silly little skill errors or the...
No, being the only person in our whole tipping comp who tipped bloody Port and...
your fault.
So frustrated because they're coming into the final quarter, they've just cracked back into the lead, and then they get overrun. And yeah, it was disappointing. Yeah. Disappointing.
5 goals to none in the last.
That's going to lose you again. Any quarter you go goalless, like, that's...
It hurts.
You deserve to be losing a game on that.
Yep, and it looked like Port were back to their old self for 3 quarters there. Just couldn't quite outlast the hurt that Judas put on them.
And it'd be like the previous game. You expected Mumford to absolutely dominate in the ruck.
Yep.
Didn't really come that way, but too many forward options for GWS. And we've always said that the back line is the issues for Port.
Yep.
That's their greatest weakness, and they were just all over it.
Yeah. I wonder how Cam McCarthy's feeling about taking that year off and then going across to Frio now. Like, that's... You got to really want to be with your family to do that.
I got to say, I don't think he's that concerned about winning games.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're leaving GWS or, now,
or playing games,
I think he was. I just want to play at home.
Yep. Yeah.
And fair enough, you know. I work wherever I want to as well.
I must say, Patton just really showed why he's going to be a sensational player coming forward. I mean, he's great. Yep. Obviously, great now, but he is going to be. Domination.
Six goals is a good return, but what's impressive is it's six goals, nothing.
Yeah.
Especially on the weekend, we have shocking kicking for goal, and he's been very accurate.
And presented well, but six straight for a big man is always going to help your team get over the line.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's all you want out of your big forwards.
And Toby Green looks like he's a good chance for a second All Australian the way he's going. It's you can think about it. The season's just about a quarter over.
Yep. Yeah.
So.
And he's been one of those players that. He's made the most out of what attributes he's got. Cause he's only a small, stocky fellow, but he's got a decent jump, and he can be annoying as hell.
Yeah, he's taken some great pack marks.
Yeah.
Not screamers or anything, but just hard, contested marks.
Yeah, and he seems to have good sort of center of gravity. He's got big hips, big thighs, so he's good at maintaining his feet. And just harassing other players as well when they don't have the ball is really outstanding.
Yeah. He gets... lambasted often for skill errors, but Jasper Pittard was probably the best out of Port.
Yeah.
And I think he came back in through the sample as well.
Right.
So he's earned his spot for another week. I thought he was the best, but Ollie Wines was good as well. He's had a good start to his year. Probably not this year, but maybe next year he might even be up there around, you know, the Robbie Gray mark.
Well, he's definitely been improving like season on season and being under like Robbie Gray and Wingard and people like that, so it's going to help as well. But, Port, seems like I don't know if they can still get there, if they can make the eight. What do you reckon?
I still think they've been playing well. I mean, you've got to remember, GWS are coming in, but premiership favourites this year. They are a good side, and I think Port's game against Adelaide, we showed how much better Port can actually play. I think they were let down with some lapses, but overall they've been playing good footy. I would be surprised if they didn't keep it going. I'm not sure what their run's like the next couple of weeks, but if they keep playing this footy, give them a side other than GWS, they'll do all right.
See, it's funny, they finished just outside the eight last year, Port, and I think they're better this year, and they still might not make the eight.
Yep.
It's
all been thrown on its head this year, so it's really tough to, like, I still don't know if things have settled yet. This is what the ladder's going to look like for the rest of the season.
I've always said that you can't really tell anything about the ladder until round six.
Yep.
But
in round six, we still might know nothing about the ladder.
we'll know a fair amount. There might be one or two teams that change, but round six is when it starts to make sense.
Yep. I just noticed Tom Scully had 20 handballs.
Yeah,
he's a lot of setting your players up.
He's a generous man.
Just a lot of 1-2s as well.
I was going to say, I bet you there's a lot of them in chains.
Yep.
Another good win for GWS. They've righted their ship after their first week shocker.
And that was down at Canberra as well, wasn't it?
Because the ground was getting used for the show.
Oh, really?
They play at the showgrounds, and apparently when it's Easter, the showgrounds gets used for the show.
That's
funny, that, isn't it?
It's ridiculous.
Anyways, on to... Carlton, who couldn't get over the line against a very accurate Gold Coast. 17-6, and I think Tom Lynch had about seven straight.
Yep.
He kicked seven straight.
Something like that.
Not a bad effort from him.
And Gold Coast have been another team where I didn't expect much of them this season, but you knew they had the potential there. And it's just trying to convince Gary Ablett to stay up there. You know what I mean? You need a good season.
Well, they were pathetic in round one.
Yeah.
Even though they gave a 40-point lead to Brisbane and they crawled it back and then lost it right at the end.
Yep.
But they're playing better. Obviously, they thumped Hawthorne last week. And this was, I wouldn't say they thumped Carlton, but they were in control.
Yeah. Well, just that third quarter, they put on six unanswered goals and that sort of set them up. There's not much else you could do to get back from that. Carlton weren't good enough to be able to pull it back in just one quarter.
No, they're never going to. It was a solid effort. From Gold Coast. And Gary had back-to-back 30 possession game. So,
yeah. Which is just what he needed to. Yeah. He needs to get that form back, get some confidence back in him. And, you know, I guess probably you just enjoy his football again. I think that's probably the hardest thing is having all the other issues on your mind. It takes away from your game.
Yeah.
And look, I doubt we'll see him in the Gold Coast jumper again next year, but, you know, good luck to him. And
you reckon he pulls a... He's contracted, but do you reckon he pulls a pin or does he go to Geelong?
It depends if the shoulder holds up, to be honest, I reckon. If he does another injury,
I think so.
He probably would have to. Probably have to call it. But, look, it's been great seeing him play well again. He's always a good player to watch.
And,
love seeing him rack it up those disposals.
I mean, the good thing for Gold Coast was not just that Gary's had two good weeks, but it's some of the lesser names like Aaron Hall and even Matera, who kicked, I think he kicked six last week and three this week.
Yep.
So he's backing up a few.
And that's what they need as well, those players to do week in, week out. That way you can actually build a game plan around it and know that you're consistent performers on the park week in, week out. Makes it much more easier to really attack the opposition.
Yeah, you need those players to step up now because Gold Coast have really been lacking that leadership, I think. And I think it's pretty well known that that's their biggest issue. So hopefully you get some of those younger guys. Oh, that was my phone. Ignore me. So, yeah, hopefully you do see those guys stepping up and actually doing something a bit more team orientated and showing that leadership and really pushing Gold Coast over the next couple of years because if they don't get that leadership coming in, they're gonna really struggle. They're gonna find it really tough to run out games because they've got no one who's gonna break the game apart, and you can't just rely on Ablett every game.
More's the pity.
I wish we could. It would be fantastic.
Well, I think they've got some people that are sticking around for a while now to actually form a leadership group that's going to be there and be able to develop their own culture.
Yeah.
Like obviously, you got May, who's doing his job as captain. Aaron Hall, as well, has been playing consistent footy. So they're people that you can really sort of build your club around, not in an on-field way, but in a developing the right culture around your club.
Well, they've got to develop those guys, and those guys have got to become the leaders because, let's face it, Gary Ablett's probably not going to play a final at Gold Coast.
Yeah, yeah.
Being at the age that he is.
Yeah. I thought Jared Witz has done a good job moving to the ruck as well.
Yeah, unbelievable. From Collingwood seconds to a couple of decent weeks.
Yep.
Admittedly, he's playing against Cruiser in this game, and Cruiser's been all right this year. So
Cruiser's been better around the ground than in the ruck, though.
Yeah. He's always been a little bit more mobile than he looks.
He always finds space, and he's a strong mark and knows his good capabilities.
Casbolt took some nice grabs in this one, too.
Yeah. Actually, Doherty played a good game as well. So there were contenders for Carlton, but they were just clearly outmatched in the third quarter.
Yeah, in the skill department, which has been Carlton this year.
Yep.
On to the other Friday night game, which was Adelaide putting on a bit of a clinic against Essendon. You said that once the emotion of the comeback goes, Essendon are going to struggle a little bit.
Yep.
And when it's playing away against the side that was on top of the ladder at the time, to be honest, 65 seems like unders for how it was going at halftime.
Yep.
Adelaide were putting on just a clinic.
Honestly, I think Adelaide are the one team that I can happily lock in for finals. I'm really worried about teams catching them, especially those home games. They're just a force to be reckoned with at the moment, and playing some very, very good football.
Well, they've played three games at Adelaide Oval so far this year, and all of them they've just looked unbeatable.
When you can 24-9 when you've got that sort of accuracy, you're going to destroy teams.
15-6 at the half.
96 at half time. I could not believe it.
I don't know if Essendon came back or Adelaide just sort of that's enough.
It seems like they just put the cue in the rack for a little bit in the third quarter there.
Played safe.
And I mean, there's no point flogging the guts out of your players when you're up.
No, exactly.
10 goals.
And, Tex and Eddie Betts were just doing whatever they wanted to anyway.
Yeah.
If we go a game this year where Eddie doesn't kick some crazy goal, I'll be disappointed. Because he's racked up another beauty this week. And it's amazing how he does that sort of thing. I mean, it's been said over and over. But,
it's just so true. Yep. It was funny, at halftime he had, there was a story on him or something, with Channel 7.
Yeah.
It's just weird. I was watching, he's saying, I've kicked goal of the year 2 years in a row, back to back. I thought,
yep.
He said back to back 2 years in a row. I thought, is that twice or four times. I'm not sure, but anyway, both from the same pocket too. So he was proud of his achievements.
Yeah, and it's just every time I think Richard might win, you know, a mark of the round or a goal around.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's like Eddie Betts or Popolo coming to steal it from.
No, I think you still got goal of the year. I think that's in the bag.
Yeah.
I can't see Rioli getting beaten for that one.
Yep.
But like, yeah, Eddie, 6 goals, 2 for Eddie, and technically 5-0. Like, that's awesome. Yeah. You've got your two best players in the forward line doing that sort of stuff. Yeah, you'd be very disappointed to lose any games.
But I still think Rory Sloane for the votes for me. Yeah, over 30 touches and a couple of goals to go with it.
And it's been like that every game this year.
Pretty close to it.
Yeah.
I undersold his performance against Hawthorn, I think. A couple of weeks ago. It's only 4 weeks in, but he might be close to double figures in votes already.
Yeah.
Especially with the way Adelaide's going. They're really up there, but in that midfield, he's leading by example.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Matty Crouch has been a good pickup as well. Like, it's his third or fourth season now, I think.
Yeah, but about that.
Starting to really find his role in that team. Consistent, too.
And I thought for Essendon, the best was probably Tip and Woody again.
Yep.
Jeez, he finds space so well in crowded forward lines when everyone's zoning off or half zone, half manning up.
Yeah.
He just always seems to be in space.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, I didn't catch this game, but from the Essendon games I have watched, his tackling pressure is solid.
Yeah.
He's a strong boy. And it's quite scary seeing him kind of running up, chasing onto someone because you know they're getting pole-axed.
He's one of those guys that's aggressive without being menacing, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Like, his attack on the footy is so, task-oriented.
Yeah, yep. Well, he's very good at the transition as well, like going from getting the ball and then setting up play once he does it. From his pressure.
Yeah.
He's very good. Yeah. If he was a bit more shit on the offensive, he'd be a real good tagger.
Yeah.
You just can't afford to have him tied up with the next someone else.
He kicks goals.
Yeah. And he always finds space, got strong hips, not easy to tackle.
And if he does get tackled and gets taken down, he bounces straight back up and he's back in it. It's just looks like one of those guys that just, I'm so happy to be playing footy.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
And he's gone the hard way about it too, through rookies and all that kind of stuff. So.
What about, is it Conor McGregor? Conor McGregor. Conor
McKenna.
McKenna, who got the high bump.
Yeah, I think he'll wear a match for it.
Yeah, it looks pretty...
It's cut and dry.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the rule's there for.
Yep.
Bloke hit his head over the ball, and he went to bump, and the other bloke went lower than he thought.
Yeah. Lucky he clipped the shoulder mostly, I think. Mm. Otherwise, you can probably push it out to two, but with the body contact, not the head so much.
Injury-wise, too, he's lucky he got the shoulder.
Yeah. Well, he did a good job of tucking his head in at the last moment because otherwise it would have been right on the top of the head and just that compressed your whole spine. Whereas he sort of tucked his chin down and...
Went underneath it.
Yeah. Yep.
But, I mean, it's not something you want to see regardless, so...
Yeah.
He'll get what he gets his week.
He got a week, and I think he'll just... There's no defence to
it. With that, yeah.
just what happened. Only 1 week? Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Adelaide just travelling... very comfortably at the minute.
Yeah, honestly, I don't see who's stopping them at the moment.
Well, you would have said the Giants, but they dispatched them in round one. So, they'd be clear premiership favourites.
Bring on the Tiggy train. That's happening.
Before we get there, we got St Kilda playing Collingwood on the Sunday, and this was one of the worst matches I've ever seen.
It was shocking. It was shocking. Gave up at halftime watching it.
Yes, me too.
It was just...
Falling asleep watching this one, I was.
Yeah, it was a tough one. And again, it's like... Saints are one of those teams at the moment where I can't swing either way on whether I'm for them or against them at the moment because They have some shocking games, but they're getting over the line. It just seems that the teams they're beating are just having worse games than what
yeah.
they are.
Yeah.
Well, they lost to Melbourne in round one.
Yeah.
When Melbourne just... They look like they're firing on all cylinders. But yeah, look, I was watching this game on my phone, and then I thought, I wonder what's happening on Facebook.
Don't know if the data's worth it.
Oh. Especially going from games where we've had really high accuracy in kicking and going to this game, where I think it was combined 16 goals, 28 or something stupid like that.
Yeah, that's spot on.
15 goals, yep. 28, yeah. It's just...
And again, under the roof at Etihad.
Yeah, it's an ice tour.
So yeah, just remember, it's got to be inside the left goalpost. That's all it needs to be.
It was really weird, the... them having the roof closed for this game too, because it was a bloody beautiful day. And yeah, they had the roof shut, and I think someone said in the broadcast that it was the Channel 7 guys complaining because they didn't want the glare coming in on the cameras, and that just shits me. Like, you've got such great conditions for an open game, but what can you do?
If you haven't got the sun in your eyes, it is a great ground when the roof's open.
Yeah.
I've even been to some pre-season night games when they've left the roof open. Been great.
Yep.
I really like it there. It's just, but anyway.
I love watching games at Etihad though, because that extra incline that you have on the seat gets you a good view no matter where you are.
Yeah, it's good for the kids too. Yeah. I know when I take the young lad to the MCG, sometimes if we're not in the front or the second row, he finds it a little bit difficult. We have to try and massage it so we get a seat that nobody's in front of him.
Yep.
But yeah, Etihad is much better. So that game's boring. I don't want to talk
about it. Yeah, it's really nothing to say. No one stood out. I mean, I will say, look, Grundy, he's still playing well. I think I was really impressed with him the last couple of weeks. Obviously, this game, it's hard to give props to anyone because it was just a shit fest.
Taylor Adams got 39 possessions and weren't remarkable.
No. Yeah. Really?
Treloar as well, actually. Treloar played probably, not his best game for the year for sure. No, but
consistent.
Yeah, he's doing well. What did he end up with? 28.
His 28 were probably better than Adams' 39.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But 27 handballs for Adams. Jesus, that's insane. That's a lot of your 39 there. But I think Treloar and Grundy are showing good signs for Collingwood, and if they can just get some sort of consistency going on, then who knows? But it's not looking good for them this year.
Definitely. Heaven and earth they moved to get Treloar is going to pay dividends. It's got to sort out up forward, because Darcy Moore, I thought he'd turn a corner this year, because he's always looked like the guy that it came easy for him, and now it's starting to come hard. He didn't like it. He almost had a bit of the Jack Watts about him in this game. Sort of do the hard work and then let it down, and it looked like it didn't bother him too much.
Yeah.
Sometimes, the guys that get emotional, and like Richo used to abuse his own players, and even Brendan Goddard does it some of the best. Sometimes you want them to get a bit angry.
Yeah.
Shows definitely. That they care.
Yep, that's exactly right. It's not worse than seeing a team be sort of indifferent about being or losing.
Indifferent, that's probably the right word for it. Sometimes he's looked a bit indifferent.
Yeah, yep. I think with the Saints in this particular game, it seemed like they had too many goal kicking options, so one person just couldn't get a consistent sort of pattern going on. But it's one of the parts of the game where I thought they wouldn't really have that much of a problem, because they had a lot of contenders for their forward lines. But when they're kicking that woeful, it's going to be a detriment, and maybe a bit off just putting some of their permanently instead of rotating people through.
Yeah. It wasn't the worst game, but it was just the least interesting game for the year so far for me.
Yep.
Hard to watch. On to the other Sunday game, which was the Tigers all over Brisbane. And it's good to see Jackie Boy back on the scoreboard properly.
That was awesome. And when he got that first goal early on, it was such a big confidence boost. He's almost goal of the round, I would say. He's probably
dangerously close to it, I think.
I'd say he'd have to have that one.
But there was no doubt, as soon as he left his boot, he knew exactly what he was doing. Yep. And old mate on the goal line did him a favour.
Matt, if he had actually taken that and put it through, you would have got the dirtiest look.
He would have got a retro spray.
and deserved it.
Yep.
Yeah. You can't steal a potential car away from someone for that sort of stuff.
So I can't remember who it was, but it definitely wasn't Sam Lloyd.
I'm a biased Tiggy supporter, so I've got to get on it. But it was great to see us really put a game out of reach early.
Yeah.
I at first thought, we're having a bit of a lapse in the third quarter where they started kicking a couple back. Mm. But then I realized that they had Grimes in the midfield. And I was like, okay, look, you know what? We're probably not going the hardest we could be right now.
We're experimenting. Yeah. The good thing is the game was comfortable, and Martin didn't have a big one.
Yep.
Not at all. yeah, actually missed a couple of easy shots on goal when he could have gone back and slotted it, and he started kicking around the corner just, you know, like he was in the park on Sunday.
Maybe he just needs that bit of pressure to make it real, you know what I mean? That's probably...
It could be it, you know. He might be one of those guys.
I think it was the first time I've seen him this year as well have a turnover that was directly lead to a goal.
Yep.
He kicked it straight back into another player and then turned around and... off two steps, they kicked it from 60 and straight through.
Was that Rockliffe who kicked it through, or Zorko?
Zorko, yeah, it was Zorko. Yeah, yeah.
Jeez, it was a nice kick. Just pick up. I'm going for goals. Don't worry about it.
But yeah, like it's great that we've got to a stage with Dusty that I'm kind of disappointed by one mistake. But no, he's still having a great year. Castagna is probably his favourite for the year, though. He's just... Our small forwards have really been doing it for us. Early, Castagna, Butler. Butler's pace is insane.
Yeah. He did great in the first couple of rounds.
I first saw him play a pre-season game against Adelaide at the start of the year. I hadn't seen him really have a full run out before that, and I think he picked up the ball and broke away from two, and it's just so quick. It's great to see him actually getting some consistent games now. So
yeah, I think it's a good problem we've got, that those small forwards have really developed themselves, and we can push them down the ground to get that pace going into the forward lines as well, especially off the half back line. I think Castagna was one of the people that did that really well all year, actually.
Yeah. I am loving that we are 4-0 at the moment. It's getting me very excited.
Feels weird, man.
There's been cautious optimism for the first couple of weeks, but I've seen it start to tip over just in the last couple of hours. I have seen some posts on Facebook, you know, I can't see less than 18 wins this year from us, really.
See, the danger games for us is games like Melbourne next week. That's because they're games that we, at this stage, we should be going in and winning. But Brisbane was always a worry for me because I'm like, oh, you know, it's Richmond. Can we out Richmond there? Out Brisbane? But Melbourne, you know, we should win that, so we'll probably lose it. And then heading over to Adelaide. Just bought my plane ticket today, so I'm going over there for that game, and very much looking forward to hopefully going in 5-0.
Sticking up the Crows.
Oh, mate, it would be awesome. Nankervis, though, is, I would say, the pickup for us here. While Presti has been great to have because it's freed up Dusty a lot, having Nankervis around the ground, and he sold another dummy on the weekend. Beautiful. I'm loving it when you've got a guy who's 6'20" and ducking around tiny little guys. I love it.
He's definitely improved a lot than what he was at Sydney last year.
And we really needed it, to be honest. Yeah.
That might be it, you know. It just might be he's comfortable that he's going to be in the best 22 week in, week out.
Yeah.
Whereas last year, obviously, he was in and out all year, and I think he was emergency for the grand final even. So he's had, you know, consistent games now, and just knowing in yourself, like, I'm not playing for my career every single week.
Yeah.
Probably helps him a little bit. And, you know, he's just putting in good performances, so.
He's been a great pickup for us, and especially with, obviously, Marich on his last legs, and Hampson's still out at the moment. It's really good. I'm so glad we got him this year.
Yeah.
That's probably been, honestly, the big difference for us this year is we had an off season where I was not disappointed with a single trade we made.
We got rid of Vickery.
I know
that wasn't a trade, but it's still worked.
Yeah, like it's made a huge difference. Coming into a season and being happy with every pickup we got. Caddy's been playing pretty well.
And Presti, like you said before.
And Caddy gives us another strong body up forward as well when he goes up there. And and now we're still being able to get some of the young guys out too. Elton has been doing all right for his games that he's had. We had Menadue back in, and I wasn't super pleased with his game the weekend. But you know what? He's still young, still lots to learn. So.
Yeah, still give him a run around. I thought Camden McIntosh has been a lot better in regards to being intimidating. He looks like a bad motherfucker this year.
His disposal efficiency is letting down. Like when he gets pressured, I found that he's kind of getting found out a little there.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the difference in playing up a bit more on the wing now rather than in the back line. He doesn't have the extra couple of seconds to make that decision, and he's got to rely on his quick thinking a bit more. And it's taken an adjustment. But, you know, like having Grimes thrown in the midfield. I think Grimes kicked a goal on the weekend.
It's got to be rare for him.
Yeah, they were like, oh, it's his first goal for the year. I'm like, you think? Really? Really?
His first goal for about 3 or 4 years, probably.
Yeah, he still looks 16, too.
Yep. and he's got no frame on him, too. Like, he's literally actually just all frame. Yeah. There's no supporting structure on it. But he's pretty strong for a skinny dude. Like he puts away most key defenders.
Yeah,
that
wiry strength, just like Dustin Fletcher. Yeah. That kind of backman. I just looked it up. He's got 3 goals in his 83-game career. So that was 1/3 of his goals on the weekend.
That's good.
Two of those goals, he was lost or something, I think. I don't know what he's doing down there.
I think they've included some Oz kickers.
Yeah.
Oz kick goals in that as well.
But he's never one to give half-assed efforts either, no. Grimes. He's always all
you know
or nothing.
You're getting out of him. Yep. Yeah. No, that's why I think he's such a reliable second backman.
Yep.
No, all in all, I'm a happy Tigers fan this week. That's
as
sure.
You should be.
Yep.
It's a good change.
You can even take it easy on Brandon Ellis as well. I think everyone else picking their game up made him go under the radar a little bit.
No, you know what? We haven't had Taylor Hunt in the team. Yep. I think we're doing all right.
Yeah, that's true.
That's been good.
The only question is, when does Hardwick re-sign?
Yeah. That's hilarious to me because there's been so many calls for his sacking and I've been adamant from the get-go that Hardwick has been one of the best things that happened to us and everyone's calling for his head last year and then we ended up winning 3 in a row or something like that and just shut everyone up.
And I think you sacked every single coach except for Hardwick.
Yeah.
So there's been a fair old turnover.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean he's 4-0 now. He's paying back what's the faith that has been showed.
Yep, and he's survived the little coup in the boardroom as well. Yep. So he's almost dictated
very
down there.
Very unmissable.
It seems like he's got the respect of the club too. The squad seems like the players are sort of invested in his game plan now. It seems to be paying off. Because I was the same as you. I always liked him, and I thought that his game plan was there. He didn't have the talent to pull it off.
Yeah.
I think now we're sort of a bit of adjustment on both of those ends has sort of made us a game plan which we can call ours. It's not just copying someone else's game plan.
Well, and lifted the talent level as well.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that's the difference is, you know, our bottom five or so players are now a lot better than what our bottom five or so players were a while ago. And that makes a big
help. And say for this game, Dusty's having the season of his life.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I mean, it's just a matter of if we can ride out injuries. That's going to be the concern.
But I mean, it's been a good lead into the season for the Tigers. I mean, they've got tough games to come, but I mean, they've knocked off West Coast. So there's nothing to be sniffed at.
Yeah, and 4 in the bank is always handy going into these tough games as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we're normally getting halfway through the season. I'm going, come on, 4 wins. Yeah, we've got this.
well, let's face it. If they were 0-4, Hardwick wouldn't be coaching out the month.
No.
Yeah, probably not.
So it gives stability in that side of it as well. So I reckon, you know, if go into the break if they're, you know, 7-4 or something like that, you probably might find a new contract before they come back.
Yeah.
Otherwise, anyway, it's all good and Richmond have every right to be happy from here.
No, you used to go into a Richmond game and everyone's happy. Yeah. Different feeling.
No, actually, it's kind of sucky when we're winning because it's hard to get a bloody seat at a game. Yeah. So you've got to get there 2.5 hours early now. And I was actually there because we took a couple of friends and we had some ex-England's...
Poms.
The Poms. They came with us and they had a couple of family members as well. So we had to kind of save out 8 seats and we wanted to get some decent seats. So you're... that was the other week, and we were there when the gates were opened. I was like, this is unusual.
They were disappointed, like a hooliganism at the start of the match. So.
I'm going to say that they glassed somebody just on the way in. It was a plastic cup, but it made them feel like they were part of it.
Yeah, no, it's good. I'm happy, so that's all that matters, really.
Yep, I can actually be a bit more at ease watching games now because I know no matter if it's a tight game, we actually got a chance of pulling this one off.
That's right.
And that got beat out of me in the Collingwood game last year, but so it's good to see us turn those around on the Thursday night at the start of the season.
Well, I mean, the game plan, give it to Dusty, is not a bad game plan.
Yeah.
And it's been good so far.
You've got to acknowledge how much Cochin is, how much better he is playing.
Yeah. Ever since he became a Brownlow medalist.
Yep. He started playing like one. Yeah.
It's awesome to see. He's scored more goals. He's just playing that role that he needs to know, the outside.
Yep.
And again, the same thing, having Prestia there, you got someone else who can dive in, get the hard ball, and then give it to Cochin, and he can actually utilize his skill. I think that bugged me heaps. The other week I was at the game, and this guy behind me, I think it was a Collingwood game we were at, and the Collingwood fans was using calling Cochin weak because he was getting the ball on the outside. I'm saying, that's actually his job.
Yeah.
That's what he's paid the big money to do. We want him to stand there and get the ball on the outside. If Cochin's the one who's having to go in and take that hard ball, then we've got issues. And that makes a big difference.
Plus, if he messes up that hair, that can't be happening.
And the worst part was when he's getting in and under getting his ball, all he's got the option to pass to was Dusty.
Yeah.
And then Dusty's going, shit. So he kicks it, then goes gets himself.
Well.
Whereas now, like we said, we've got people who can play on the inside so that he can free him up to be a playmaker that he actually is.
The Essendon game actually did have a kick to themselves. Was it Essendon, I think? One of the players kicked it.
Yes, it was Essendon. He towed the ball and then marked it.
Yeah, and it got kicked to him. He popped it back up to himself and then took the mark, claims it, and the ump gave it to him. So.
Well, there's nothing in the rules that say is against it. And immediately when I saw it, I thought, that's a mark, isn't it? And they paid it. I'm like, oh, good. Yeah. I'm glad they did.
Just, he juggled it, but just with his feet, that's all. It counts.
He took some inspiration from Tubby Taylor in the slips.
Yeah, Lord.
And the final game from today, Hawthorn got smashed by 86 for the second week in a row against Geelong.
Yep.
Again, not really that much of a spectacle to watch. Even in the first half when it was close, it was only close because Geelong weren't kicking
straight. 2-10 or something ridiculous early on. That makes it hard. But yeah, it's Geelong obviously still a good side, sadly, but it is nice seeing some calm of down for Hawthorn.
Well, that's it. You can't have the lows. You can't enjoy the highs unless you've had the lows. Yeah. And there's been some lows at Hawthorn.
Yeah.
Then there were some spectacular highs. Now we're at the other end again.
See, I'm the opposite. I've seen so many lows that I can't appreciate the highs.
So I'm like, this isn't real. Yeah. This isn't real.
It's like, what do I do? How do I supposed to feel in this situation?
It wasn't really a standout for Geelong. I mean, Motlop had 30 touches and a couple of goals instead of Duncan. But again, it seemed when they went into transition, it was just too easy for them.
Yeah, and that showed in the last half as well.
Yeah. Oh, 11 goals straight in the final quarter.
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous.
Crazy. Yeah, I think it was something like 15 goals two for the last half. It's quite incredible.
Which is scary when you look at the fact that they still only they still kicked 20 goals 14.
Yeah,
that was a lot of early misses.
Yeah,
And so it could have been a very dangerous scoreline for Hawks. But you know, I think Hawks fans are pretty realistic at the moment. Well, most of them are. You know, they're not going to make finals this year, and that's fine. You know what?
And we don't get our first two round. Draft picks.
That's going to be hard.
More of the point.
But that's all right. There's always bargains in the 40s and 50s in every draft. You know?
You can get Relton Roberts.
Yeah, it's a Relton Roberts or it's a Dane Swan. So it could go either way.
You could trade Vickery, but hey.
So who?
I don't know. Who's sadistic enough for that?
Richmond.
Now, I will honestly say, even though Vickery obviously not playing today, one thing that I've said before is, you know, Vickery's game smarts are relatively good. He gets himself where he should be. He just doesn't do it well.
Any talent to do anything when
he gets I think it's a hard thing for him, and it's where you see why you see him come out and kick six goals every 10 weeks or so. Because he'll just have one game where his timing works and things are happening for him. But because he's already in those positions, it makes a big difference.
Does enough to keep his spot.
Yeah.
But he was out this week. And Sicily came in and took more marks in one game than I think Vickery's taken all week. Or contested marks, anyway, than Vickery took in the previous three. Hodge had a great game, though. He looked like the only one that had any poise.
Yeah.
There was a little change in Hawthorn compared to the previous weeks when they did start to attack a little bit more.
Yep.
But even towards the end, it started to be the roundabout handball.
Yeah.
And they don't have the skill that they used to have to play that way.
Yep.
So now they're handballing backwards to stationary targets who are under the pump.
Yeah.
And more than one occasion, they went backwards 20 metres before they turned it over.
Yep.
If you're going to turn it over, at least do it straight away.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I found with the Hawks is that they didn't look as slick, but generally they used to have, whenever they get the ball, they have one or two players who are one or two steps ahead, and that's how they'd be setting up their attack.
Yeah.
Whereas this time, everyone's sort of flat-footed. No one's really thinking that step ahead to see how they can sort of get it fast out of the back lines. Yeah. I don't know if it's just due to confidence or if the talent isn't there. Or don't know, but it seems like, yeah, a little bit flat.
A little bit. And I've always said, like, with the club legends, you know, 1 year too many is what you give them.
Yeah.
And that's clearly what we've given them.
Yeah.
Gibson is really poor at times.
Yeah.
I think he even got caught holding the ball sometimes where you're like, dude, there's a guy right there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what you're doing. Mm. And Burgoyne did some very un-Burgoyne things. And it's been that way this year. Out of those two plus Hodge, Burgoyne was the one I thought was the most likely to go on next year.
Yeah.
First 4 weeks, they've all been down on form. This has actually been rare that anybody in Hawthorne hasn't been down on form. On the Geelong side of things, Tommy Hawkins looked like a beast when he's up and going.
Yeah, didn't he? Almost seems to have up for a sweet armbar at one point. I saw him down there. I was like, just lock it in. What about, who was it that got the hit on Hodge?
Parsons?
Parsons, yeah, young lad.
He's definitely out.
He's extremely lucky he didn't do more damage.
Yeah. And, like, Hodge took it like a champ.
he took it literally on the chin.
Yeah.
Sort
of bounced back up, you know what I mean?
Shook it off. Didn't bother remonstrating. I think he's just a bit beyond that.
Yeah.
Too much fucking effort. I'm too old for this shit now.
Yeah, the fact that... And this is something about earlier. It's something that really bugs me with the match review panel, is that if Hodge had broken his jaw then, you're going to give Parsons 10 weeks.
Yeah.
In fact, he doesn't break his jaw, he's going to get a lot less.
Yeah.
And that's shitty. It shouldn't be based on the severity of the injury it was actually caused. It's how bad could it have been?
Yeah, that's it. It's the action itself that should be.
I think that's why it's surprising that Zeeble didn't get off, because he broke ribs. But, I mean, it's a fair hit. It just happened to be he broke ribs. Mm. It's going to be interesting to see if how many weeks Gibson gets.
The sling tackle, was it?
No, that was... there was two sling tackles. There was one that was on Hodge that somebody got reported for. One of the other young lads, I've forgotten his name. And there was another one that wasn't a sling tackle. The bloke just... I think it was Cam Guthrie.
Yeah.
He actually just tried to fling a foot at the ball, and that's why he went head over heels.
Oh, right.
But Gibson had the bump.
The Shepherd?
Yeah.
Was the sling tackle on Hodge been reported. Menegola. Yeah.
There was a bump that was a great bump, but then the accidental head clash.
Yeah,
and
that
gave him a concussion.
How did he get concussion out of that?
Yeah, well, he didn't play any part. Gibson did. Gibson was fine. He kept going. But
I thought it was a nice Shepherd, to be honest.
Yeah, it was, but it's unlucky. Like, when you decide to bump and accidental head clash, it looked like good form too.
Yeah.
But got him in the head, so he's probably going to wear a week for it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because I don't like to discourage that sort of Shepherd. The player chasing the Hawks player down just didn't really look like he expected someone to bump him, which sort of made it a bit difficult because you don't brace yourself as well.
Yeah, that's it. He didn't brace himself because he didn't see it coming.
Yeah. So it's his fault.
2 weeks. but Geelong, they're 4-0, but haven't looked that impressive. Besides the last quarter, when there were witches hats out there.
Yep.
They haven't looked as impressive as they could, but
no.
I think they've played to their opposition.
Exactly. They've done what they needed to do just to get across the line. And I think Guthrie's had a good game today. Dangerfield not needing to do much. A lot of times he was just chasing his own ball, to be honest. But,
and Dangerfield copped a knock early. Trying to remember. So he was a little bit down on him, his usual output, but there were plenty of others that, let's face it, they have plenty of space to find themselves anyway.
Yeah, and they've got that mid to high tier level of players that's really good, like Mackie and Menegola has been playing a good couple of games as well. Who else was there? Mitch Duncan.
And finally, Harry Taylor spent more time down back today as well.
Yeah.
He was up forward as well. But
I think he started the game up forward and then moved back down.
Back down towards the end. But it looks like it's going to be a dry old year for the Hawks. If they get 4 wins for the rest of the season, I think I'll be impressed and surprised.
Yep.
The way things are going.
Yeah.
Well, that wraps up round four. So have a quick look at round five, and this will be good because I haven't checked round five yet. But we start on Friday night with Port hosting Carlton. You think Port at home with Paddy Ryder back are going to be too strong for Carlton?
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But again, Carlton are just looking for effort.
Yeah, and I think Carlton will be trying to look what they can learn from that Port Adelaide team with their young squad, trying to be their running game. I mean, see, Carlton have got some pretty decent lockdown players, but it's in their attacking players that they're really missing out. So they need to develop them from their kids, because they're not going to get anyone to move to their club.
Well, when they've had to swing Wietering forward as a key option, I mean, he's such a good key position backman for the next 12 years. It's showing that they're lacking. But Casbolt started to take some marks last week, so maybe he can turn it around.
Yep, just got to slot it through. I think Port will win this one quite handily.
Bulldogs are hosting Brisbane at Etihad. Bulldogs comfortably. It's just a matter of if they can put in a four-quarter effort.
Yeah.
It'll be a massive margin, or they'll just do enough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Brisbane have got to try and rough them up, slow them down. That's the only really option that they have, but it's still going to be uphill battle.
Yeah. I think Bont had a quiet week this week, so he might just get off the chain.
I think if Brisbane can win a quarter, then that's a win for them.
Yeah, yeah. And they probably will.
Yeah.
Just the way the Bulldogs go. So Bulldogs across the board.
Yep.
Easy.
Adelaide are travelling up to the Gold Coast. This will be interesting, I think, because the Gold Coast are hitting a little purple patch of form, and you definitely want to play Adelaide away from Adelaide Oval.
Yeah,
they've got a chance to run off Adelaide, but I think there's just too much talent in that team.
And I think the only way the Gold Coast get across the line is from some sort of surprise attack. If some players all of a sudden have the game of their life and they don't have a plan.
Someone like Jack Martin pops up and kicks five, and you're like, oh, shit, I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah.
It'll be very good to see May on Walker.
Yep.
And then Talia on Lynch. So both the bookends.
Yeah.
Who goes to Eddie Betts? I wouldn't mind seeing Adam Saad.
Yeah, it's not a bad call, actually. I think, Eddie, it's really tough. I think you've got to put a couple of people on him to manage him across the ground.
Yeah.
Just run off.
Or choke supply.
Yeah. I mean, you put his sort of pass level at three goals, I think.
Yep.
You know, if you got three goals, then that's like, okay.
Yeah. And that's the scary thing. He might get three touches and he'll get three goals. Look,
it's what happened to the Hawthorn game. I think he affected play four times and he kicked three goals.
Mm.
But yeah, if Saad can play on him, I think he's strong enough for Betts, because Betts is deceptive, but he can also hurt him running the other way.
Yeah.
There's potential with the Suns here, but I think you just can't back against Adelaide.
No, not at the minute.
They're way too strong. I honestly don't see who's going to stop them.
I haven't seen them tested yet, which is it's going to be interesting to see when.
But that's the thing; it's like they have played reasonable sides, so it's not like they've played all the scum.
GWS and Port were both in hot form.
Yeah,
so it makes it hard, and I think that's something that you look at like Port's record at the moment. And they go, oh, you know what? Well, they probably should be sitting a little higher, but they've had some tough games. Makes it a bit hard on them.
Yeah.
Sydney are travelling. No, sorry. Sydney are hosting GWS at the SCG. This is one of those things where Sydney are just as likely to pop up and finally click.
Yeah.
And then beat up little brother yet again.
This is a game that I always look forward to watching, because generally it's been a battle of the midfields and a fast running sort of game. But this year, with Swans where they are, you really hope they just pull it together and make this exciting.
They've got to see how they've pulled up today as well, because injuries are always going to be an issue for them, especially the long trip back from Subi.
And I mean, they're going to have to really look at who they put on Patton as well, after his form kicking, was it six straight, seems to be like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, Grundy's their main key backman, and that's worrying.
Yeah.
Because Patton's just going to absolutely kill him.
Too big, too mobile as well.
And then does Aaliyah go to Cameron? Because I mean, Aaliyah's playing well, but when he's been found out a few times this year when people have made him accountable.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. And Cameron makes you accountable.
Yeah.
He's just so damn quick.
Yeah. Well, Leah was good as the floating backman that could cut off the intercept marks. I feel like when he's been given an actual task of manning someone up, he's been found out a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that's just coming from a bit of...
He's second year in.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think GWS still, it would not surprise me if Sydney got up.
Mm.
Yeah, it's definitely a game to watch, though. I think, as it said, Sydney's form's been really good for a team that hasn't won a game. Hopefully they do get up one and come over the line. But again, you just can't back against the GWS here. It's too strong.
Dockers are hosting North. That's not a bad matchup, actually.
It could be the worst game of the year.
It could be the most watchable worst game of the year, though.
Yep.
Last year, that was Dockers-Carlton.
Yeah.
This year, it could be good. It's going to be good to see Goldie and Proust versus Sanderlands.
This one's over in Perth, isn't it?
It is over in Perth.
Yes.
And I think that swings my tip to the Freo here. Yeah. North, they just didn't look great against Dogs.
They've shown endeavour.
Yeah.
Mm. Every week they've shown endeavour, and that's all you can ask for.
Yeah.
Well, the worst thing is, like, they've been given their best and still sucking.
But that's going to happen when you give away, four your most experienced players. Lindsay will need to back up and have a good game, because he was very disappointing last week, like I said. St Kilda are hosting the Cats at Etihad Stadium. This becomes a great game, because I think St Kilda match up really well against the Cats. And like I said, Cats, their accuracy has really helped them the last 2 weeks. Were they 17-6 the week before?
Yeah.
And even though they were shocking the first half against Hawthorn, like you said, 15 goals two in the second or something like that. So Saints down back have actually got some people now.
Yeah.
And they've got lots of options up forward.
Yeah. It's just a matter of putting together four quarters, which they've struggled to do all year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that consistency's been killing Saints. You know, their game against West Coast, they played pretty well again there, and, you know, we're probably a bit unlucky to not get over the line. And, I think they'll definitely be put on a good show. Got to go with Geelong here, I think.
Yeah, so, too many winners across all the lines.
Yeah, I feel like this round's actually pretty one-sided on the tipping front. Yeah. You might see an upset or two, but it's I don't think you're going to see anyone tipping that upset.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to try and fish for the upset. So I'm going to tip Saints there. So there's the upset for me. Saints over Geelong. On the Sunday as well, we got Hawthorn hosting Sam Mitchell's new team. And I say that because I think that might be my only interest in this game.
Yeah.
Is to go up there and look at Sam Mitchell and go, oh, yeah, that's right. He can do that. Yeah. So I hope his ankle's all right so he can line up, because otherwise it might be embarrassing, this one.
Yeah.
You definitely hate for him not to play. There'd be such a good build-up to this game, especially being at the G. You know there's going to be a lot of Hawks fans coming out to watch that. So even though they're probably going to get a good slacking again, hopefully not 86 points. Three in a row might be a little depressing.
Yeah. Well, last year it was 3 points, wasn't it? Hawthorn always won by three. So this year might be they always lose by 86. It's not really that great of a trade when you think about it, reflects our off-season.
It's a Fremantle-esque turnaround.
So West Coast easy. Monday night, so the Anzac Eve at the MCG.
Richmond, it's 5 days of footy again this week. It's crazy.
Richmond and Melbourne, trying to turn it into a bit of a tradition, which is not a bad idea. You know, you try and get yourself as many key matchups as marquee games as you can.
To be fair, this one's the night of the anniversary with the missus. So
well, that's your fault.
We'll most likely still be going to the footy though. Sorry, Megan. I'll be at this game and hopefully very very happy with our 5-0 start to the year afterwards.
I guess it's good to organise your anniversary on the day before a public holiday.
Yeah, it's great.
I know I got a mate in Sydney who got married the day before Australia Day. So the day after is always a day off.
Yeah.
Which we always went and played poker anyway, but didn't matter.
Yeah, see, me and my missus, we just forgot when we actually looked up, so we don't have an anniversary date.
Too drunk.
Yeah.
But definitely, like, if we get over the line here, and expecting Adelaide will have a win as well, we're going to be playing them over there, both teams 5-0.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm so looking forward to that weekend.
It's just going to be a straight draw, obviously.
Yeah, definitely. I would take that. I would absolutely take that. It'll be my first game going to see at Adelaide Oval as well. So
yeah. It's guaranteed to be a packed house.
Well, we just bought tickets today, and really all that was left is top level. And I think $70 a ticket or something ridiculous, crazy. But worth it. I've already booked my flights.
No, it's funny, we are spoiled here in Melbourne when it comes to ticketing and things like that. Because like looking at Flatispo online, talking about what they go through in WA to get tickets, it's crazy. It's so hard and so expensive. We really get spoiled. We just wake up and walk down the MCG and buy a ticket and go in general bin for $14 or something.
There's always a seat at the MCG.
This is probably a danger game for us. I think we are going to probably Richmond the game at some stage. Hopefully it's not against the Deeds, because we really would start well having that 5-0.
Hogan's back this week, which is a good matchup for Rance, but I seem to remember that the last time they played, Hogan got the better of him.
Yeah, Hogan can pull him down the ground, which Rance, I mean, he's good going one direction.
Yep.
We've got to make him go two, then he starts to get a bit worrisome. But yeah, it's always been a good game, us versus Melbourne. I think Melbourne generally have the wood over us, but is Lewis still out?
Yes.
Yeah, so I think that really helps us as well.
Yep.
It's going to all be one in the middle. If we can get first use of the ball, it's going to be really hard for Melbourne to be able to counter that.
Viney and Martin going head-to-head is a real slobber knocker.
Yep.
As Jim Ross would say. And finally, Anzac Day, Essendon and Collingwood. This one could go either way.
As much as I hate how Collingwood's playing at the moment, they always step up for the big games.
Yep.
I think I'm still have to go with Essendon here, but I think, Collingwood are definitely a solid option. It's essentially a coin flip for me. I'm going to struggle either way.
Yeah, I think Collingwood might get it done. I think that their midfields match up very well, but Brody Grundy in the ruck has been killing it, and he becomes such an option around the ground. But, yeah. Yeah, this is just like Collingwood, like you say, to step up when it matters.
Yeah.
But like I said, with Essendon, the emotion of the comeback, this might be the last week that they can ride that bus.
Yeah, yeah. And it's always a good matchup, this one. So it's always a tight contest, most of the time anyway. So as long as it's a competitive game, I'm going to be interested.
Yeah. Well, you're going to watch it because it's Anzac Day. Exactly. What else are you going to do?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. As long as it's a tight game, I don't think it's going to be the most skillful game, but yep. As long as it's close, it gets you invested in the game. So that's all I'm hoping for. But I think I think Collingwood might just get over the line. Just from the ball in midfield.
Looks like to be match of the round. Yeah. Certainly for closeness, if not positions on the ladder. All right, that'll do us for this week. Thanks for joining us again,
Cheers,
Richie.
Rich. No worries. Good
Anytime.
To be back.
Anytime, brother.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.